Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode of the podcast, Pappy's Flatshare
House Meeting. That's where your favourite three pappies get together and have a chat.
I would say we are the top three pappies.
Very proudly.
Just about. There are a few people who remember us from pre-2009 who might disagree, but I would say...
This isn't for you.
Currently most people's favourite three pappies. This is not for you guys. But what is for you, listener dear, is that we've got two Flatshare Slamdowns happening next month. Monday, October the 9th and Tuesday, October the 10th. And they are going to be absolute humdingers. We had such a good time, and we're really excited for you to hear these next two episodes. We had such a good time.
Oh, they were lovely.
Last week, recording our episodes with Richard Herring and Chappie Corsandi and Lauren Layfield and Dan Schreiber. Two absolute corkers. We're really excited for you to hear them. They're coming out over the next 2 months. But if you would like to be part of podcasting history, then you want to come down to a live recording. There really is. There's nothing like it. The atmosphere is so fun. We really enjoy it. October the 9th, we've got two brilliant guests in Izzy Sooty and Ellis James.
I believe they know each other.
I believe they're acquainted.
And then on Tuesday, October the 10th, deck the halls with boughs of Advocar, because it is our Christmas special. For scheduling reasons, we're doing it in October. But you know what? I'm already starting. Making the little image where I had to put Santa hats on our heads. Already, I'm getting that little tingle. It is beginning to feel a lot like Christmas.
Well, that's your thing, isn't it? Your thing's Santa hats. So that's why you get that tingle.
I get a real tingle from them. Get a real tingle from them. So come along and get that same tingle that I've been getting all this week. Because we'll be joined by Angela Barnes and Eureka Catani.
I'm not sure if they know each other. I just don't know.
Oh, I don't know, actually.
I don't know if they're acquainted.
We'll send them both a text and say, do you know Eureka? You'll get on like a house on fire. You're lovely.
And have you got a Santa hat you can bring?
Can you source a Santa hat in October? You can get tickets for both shows individually. I think they're about a tenner. Or you can get a discounted ticket that gets you into both shows for £17.
Whoa.
So if you want to see both shows, do the Monday and the Tuesday. Lots of people did. I think we had about 50 people who did both nights in September. So why not? Why not join those guys hardcore?
And also, if you want a further discount, you could join the Patreon.
What?
Very good point, Clarkie. Yeah. Patreon members get a discounted ticket price as well. I think you get £2 off. You get £2 off the individual tickets. You get £2 off the double discount tickets. So it's well worth joining the Patreon. And you also get, obviously, our Flatshare pop round, all the bonus beefs. You get the jingle as a single. And you get a wonderful little community you can join of other like-minded listener dears. So join the Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare today.
Absolutely amazing. Well, let's get into this house meeting, which I believe began with a parenting anecdote from Matthew.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
So, last night I was on solo parenting duty. I put the kids to bed. It was going pretty smooth. And basically, I got Sylvie into the bath, and then I had to sort of nip downstairs very quickly to go and grab Cleo to tell her to come up to get in the bath. And she'd got herself this little bit of card that she was using as a sign, and I said, "Don't worry, you can bring your sign upstairs." Or sort of using that as a little bargaining tool. So we brought the sign upstairs. It's just like a little bit of blue card, and she sort of hung it over the edge of the bath, her sign, and then she went off back downstairs. So I ran back downstairs after her, and when I came up, the sign was gone, and the bath was blue, and I dyed my daughter blue. Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
So in the, you know, you're not really supposed to leave a little kid in the bath even for a second, but I'd run downstairs. When I came back, her fingers and toes and blue. Quite a lot of her torso had been dyed blue because she'd taken the sign and she'd scrunched it all up and made like a sort of blue broth inside the bath.
Bath broth.
It's, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's also mate. Like, you know, because obviously when you're, you know, when I'm away or when Charlie's away, we'll message each other during bedtime to go, you know, hope it goes well. How's it going? How have they been so far? And the message you want to receive and the message you want to send really is, yeah, it's going great. They've been amazing. It always wants to be that. That's the message you want to, you know, that's the only message you really want to, like, if you're away and you know, you get the message, it's been a nightmare. There's nothing you can do. You can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
So all you want is it's been amazing. And what the message you don't want to receive is,
I've smurfed your daughter.
Yeah. I've turned one of our daughters into a member of the Blue Man Group. Her drumming is out of this world.
But she shaved her head.
Did you shower her? Did you get it to where it needed to go?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or were you just in for a penny, in for a pound? Get the other one in there.
I'll tell you what happened next, right? So what happened next was I ran downstairs to get one of those little things you pop in the sink to stop bits of food from going down the sink plug hole. So I got that, put that in the bath so that all the bits of paper sort of bunched up and then got that out, ran a new bath. Cleo got into that new bath when it was just starting to you know, it was a couple of inches, and she peed into it. So out comes the plug hole again, water gone, plug hole back in, new bath.
Now she's yellow.
Yeah. She's green. But yeah, so then that goes. That's all that water's gone, new bath. New bath starts filling up. As I'm doing this, Sylvie has unspooled an entire toilet roll. And she's about to chuck that. She's about to chuck that into.
She's got a taste for bath broth.
She loves a bit of papier-mâché now. Absolutely loves a bit of papier-mâché. So yeah, so she's about to put that in the bath. I'm like, no. Stick all of that up on like a high shelf with the big splodge of blue. That's up on top of a high shelf.
Great. You'll find that in about 3 years' time.
Well, no. Here's the thing. I did find it immediately after. I got the kids dressed, got Sylvie settled, and thought, right, before I go and read a story to Cleo, I'll go and I'll go and take the splodge and just put it all in the bin. Everything's just going in the bin. So I was walking past the stairs. Cleo saw me walking past the stairs with the splodge in my hand. She went, "Where are you going?" But I didn't know she was there. And I went, "What?" And the splodge flopped out of my hands onto the carpet. So a big blue dye-filled ball just landed on the carpet. So I ran downstairs, put that in the bin, grabbed some carpet cleaner, sprayed that on, went up, read the story, came back down, mopped it up, and yeah.
And then a little cry?
I had a tub of ice cream. Which is the sort of, it's the same thing really, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I can't face cooking myself dinner now. I'm just gonna. There's a half a tub of Ben and Jerry's. I'm just gonna eat that. So I ate that.
Perfect.
And the messages that you're sending during that, are you ever tempted to just go with, "It's fine. They've been amazing."
No, that's what I did send.
Is that what you send?
And then as Charlie was coming home about 9 o'clock, she said, "Has it been okay?" And I said, "I've got a great story to tell you." So, but like by that point, enough distance had passed. neither of our kids were blue anymore. My hands were still quite blue, but
well, that's fine. They're just cold from holding the ice cream.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that reminds me of your friend Rob. Do you remember when Rob dyed his satchel? Do you remember
Rob? I don't think I do, actually. No, what happened?
So when, because Rob is a, is he a headmaster? Is that right?
Yes, that's yes. right.
And on the day before, like a headmaster's conference or some sort of important business type event, he was looking at his satchel, thinking, "I can't go in with this tatty old satchel. I'll have to dye it. I'll dye it black, and it will give it a whole new lease of life." And so he got like a basin and filled it with dye and dyed his satchel. And obviously didn't wear like protective gloves or anything. So he dyed his hands black. And I genuinely, I think about that all the time. Constantly thinking about Rob's dyed hands. And he said he had, what he had to do was on the day the next morning when he had to go to the conference, he kept his hands behind his back for the whole of the day, like in what I imagine is quite a sort of statesman-like way to walk around. You know, it quite professorial, really, isn't it? Quite teacherly. Hands behind the back, shoulders back, head up, hands behind the back.
Leather gloves.
Black, well, he could, I mean, that's too
demon
much.
Demon headmaster it.
Very, very demon headmaster. But also he'd lock eyes with people, make really good eye contact, and then stick his, like if he had to shake someone's hand, he'd stick his hand out and grab their hand and shake it and then put his hand back around the back of his back.
I'm like, this guy's incredible.
This guy's so charismatic. He's got such gravitas. Hang on a second. I'll sit behind him for a bit. Has he dyed his hands black?
Honestly, though, what a gorgeous satchel.
The satchel maketh the man. That's what they say.
It would never even begin to occur to me to dye a satchel.
No.
No.
That's why you'll never make a headmaster.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. Deputy head, tatty satchel, white hands. I'm happy. I'm set. What, Do you ever partake in Vinted?
Vinted? What? I've done Vinted, yeah. Yeah, I've Vinted. I've bought stuff. I've never sold stuff on Vinted.
That feels like a new way of life now. It feels like, I don't know if it's a parenting thing, but you hear that a lot in the park.
Yeah.
People always go, oh yeah, it's Vinted.
I know the name, but what, talk me through it.
It's selling your old clothes online, basically. Selling and buying old clothes online.
Right.
It's Gumtree for clothes.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the charity shop, but no money goes to the charity.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, actually.
Because we're big chazzers in this house. We're big donators. So that's where all our stuff goes. We don't ever think, you know what it is that I can't be arsed with the admin, you know? Like, here, I'm still a set in my ways. If I want to buy things, I go to a shop, you know, like, especially clothes. I you know, if it's something that where you need
right,
to see
granddad.
It on. Yeah, but it is an all right granddad thing because what Charlie will do is she will, you know, she will buy a ton of stuff. She'll try a load of it on. She might send all of it back.
Oh.
So there's always bags ready to go to the post office or to be picked up by the delivery guys. And I think the admin of it,
yeah.
If I buy an item of clothing online and I don't like it, I just keep it until I chuck it away.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not chuck it away, donate it. I always donate it away. But, you know, like, and Charlie would be like, oh, no, it's really easy. You'll print out this form. The second you go, print out, it's not easy. All you've got to do is print out this thing and then fill it in and then send an email.
Print out that blue sign, it'd be fine.
Pop it in the bath, rub it all over your body.
Nothing can go wrong.
How do they make bread with no wheating?
House meeting.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The thing I think with charity shops that I can't quite get my... I feel like there's a certain degree of arrogance to go, someone's going to want this. Like the stuff that I'm getting rid of.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think with a clear conscience... I can put it in a shop.
Fair enough.
This is not fit for any other human
It feels nothing short of audacious that someone's going to want to repurchase it. That's how I feel. So I have that the happy medium that's come along in society is the clothes bin where you can still just bag
textile
it up
and recycling.
whack it in a skip. And it doesn't feel like you're taking it around to, you know, Prudence and Sheila and going, bung that up behind the till.
You know what? You should go into Bernardo's, you know, because there's always, whenever I'm in like a Sue Ryder or a Bernardo's or any of that, there's always someone in there going, you know, just, you must have something. Like, all I want is a slightly too large yellow t-shirt that absolutely reeks. You must have something in the back room. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Come it. On.
There's got to be a market for it.
If it could preferably have a variety of miscellaneous stains, if it looks more like a map of the world than it does a t-shirt, that would be my dream item. Yeah, I actually weirdly feel a lot more guilty about the fabric recycling because that's the real dregs going to the fabric recycling, don't they?
Yeah, it's just basically parchment. At that point,
what am I going to do with this tapestry? The idea of the chewing shroud, right, is that
yes.
Jesus washed his face on a towel. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, no. Yeah. They handed him a towel.
Has it got like an imprint of his face? Like a
yeah,
like a yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not real though.
He'd just done a tough mudder.
He just did some CrossFit.
Yeah, he
went out into the desert. Yeah.
and then he washes his face, right? And then the face burnt into it over time. I can't imagine it was instant.
It's like a brass rubbing of Jesus. Somebody quickly got some charcoal.
It was the end of a curry.
The bit in Forrest Gump when he puts it on his face and he takes it off and it's like the smiley face. That's how I imagine it happened.
Yeah.
His face was covered in sort of all kinds of, you know, like, you know, all kinds of mud and blood and all that kind of stuff. And he popped it on and it just left an imprint.
They'd been to the best curry house in Turin.
Yeah.
And they pop him a warm towel, and while he's doing it, someone gets a quick barge and rubs it across.
Perfect. Oh, that's just making me hungry.
We get an onion barge and does an onion barge rubbing on his face. takes all the grease off, and it's got the perfect imprint of Jesus' face. Was the Turin Shroud like the first version of that thing with the pins that you stick your face into at the fashion shop? Was it the earliest prototype of that?
It's, I mean, they've really got away with one with the Shroud of Turin, let's be honest.
But it isn't real, is it? It was the Shroud of Turin isn't a real thing. It was a fake, right?
Well, I mean, I presume so, but...
It's all fake, but is it? Has it been accepted as a fake?
That's it, yeah. Is it still like a holy item? Is it going to crop up in the next Indiana Jones movie?
The picture I remember seeing of the Shroud of Turin, right?
Yeah.
It's a guy with a sort of long face and a beard and long hair, but it looks exactly like someone's drawn a face. Like, it really is a very, very clear imprint of a face, right?
Yeah, your hair's not getting on there.
Your hair's not getting on it, no way.
Yeah, your beard.
And not unless it's the snood of Turin, and he's wrapping his entire... It's the snood of Turin. He's wrapping his entire face in it. And then unpeeling it, and his hair's on it. But yeah, the picture was like a sort of, you know, it was a guy with a sort of a bearded guy with a long face and his eyes closed. No way is that.
You know what would have worked if you'd ran Christ a bath with your daughters nearby, and he went to wash his face in it, and then you just get a beautiful, perfect papier-mâché mask of Christ.
Oh yeah,
that's exactly it.
That would have worked.
Or just give him one of those face packs, but you make it out of something that hardens. And they just, that's what people should have been doing. They should have said, Jesus, look, you want to look good for the Last Supper. You've got a couple of sort of slightly clogged pores here. You know, you've got quite an oily T-zone. Pop on this face mask and just let it set. And then when we peel it off, and then you've got a perfect face mask of Jesus.
The problem with running a bath for Jesus is he just sits on top of it. There's no way in for him.
He can't.
That's why he's got such a dirty face.
He invented the waterbed, didn't he?
Yeah. Jesus could never appear on the TV show Splash. He would... he'd look amazing in those little trunks, but the second he hits the water, he bounces straight off and goes flying into the audience.
I'd watch that show.
He wouldn't do it, would he? The money would have to be good for Jesus to do Splash.
No, he's not about the money, though, is he? He's about spreading the message.
Yeah, but then you don't go on Splash to spread the message. No, at least go on The Jump.
I'm a celeb, yeah.
At least... No, it's Strictly, isn't it? It's Strictly for...
Yeah. I'd say Jesus, yeah.
This is a good question, actually. Do you think Jesus is more BBC than he is terrestrial TV?
I definitely see him as BBC, yeah.
Is he more iPlayer than he is ITVX?
Yeah, I can't imagine seeing that, you know, like, he'd be okay with all the adverts.
Yeah, it's a good point, isn't it?
He upturned all the tables.
He'd be upturning all the tables every time. There's no way he's doing Saturday Night Takeaway when it's like, we give away the adverts. He'd be absolutely... Oh, I think Jesus would take a very dim view of Ant and Dec.
But then he was a man of the people. He hung out with... He didn't hang around with the establishment, did he?
Oh, it's a tough call, actually.
So wait, you're saying that Ant and Dec aren't the establishment, though?
Not when they're up against the BBC.
Aren't Ant and Dec the modern sort of kings? I mean, I know we have a king, but do you not think Ant and Dec... Do you not think he'd be kind of anti all of it?
I see Ant and Dec as really successful fishermen. And, you know, that's what he was all about. They're two working class lads done good. Whereas, you know, over at the BBC, they're kind of the Oxbridge set, sat around with their pipes.
Yeah.
Planning a panorama.
The old boys network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's the high church. Whereas I think Ant and Dec are they're the best fishermen in town.
If you heard that Dec had been born in a manger, it wouldn't surprise you. I think Ant and Dec and Jesus have a lot in common. You're right.
If you found out that Ant had had a night on the tiles and slept in a manger.
Slept outside of Pret-a-Manger, you mean? You'd be like,
I can buy it. I hope he's okay. but I know. I also know that, you know, I know that that isn't going to sit well with Ben's family, who are devoutly Christian and also huge fans of the BBC.
Yeah, true, true. Maybe that's my bias showing through there, that I instantly went to the BBC.
Well, no, the real answer the real answer, and no one wants to admit this, is it'd be Channel 4, and they'd make a bloody We're Different advertising thing about it. You know, yeah, because...
Born Risky.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus was born risky. He's out there with the crims, with the sex workers, with the kind of working class. He's at the docks.
Yeah.
That's where Channel 4 is, you know. That's the answer Channel 4 would certainly like to give.
Yeah. When Jesus is put out to tender, Channel 4 are going to make a strong bid for him. A really strong bid. Because, well, here's the thing. If Jesus was on Strictly, would he dance to secular songs? Or would he dance purely to hymns?
Lord of the Dance, Lord every of the time. Dance, yeah. He'd just do a different style every week. I'm doing the Paso Doble, but it's to Lord of the Dance. And they'd have to just keep doing different versions of it. That would be my... I think that would be my Strictly tactic, actually. Same song, different style of that song every week, and then people are really getting into it. They're like, oh my God, how's he going to rumba up Copacabana? It's like...
Right, okay, that was my next question. But the same way, expecting Copacabana.
The same way that I waltz Copacabana.
No, a song that is so... It's so within a genre. But that's what's so good about it.
Every time, I play Tony in a number of different ways.
And what about when it is, you know, when there's a themed week, like a Halloween...
Yeah,
are you going to do
spooky, spooky Copacabana? Tony's a vampire. Every week it starts the same. I'm Tony. I'm at the bar. You know, like it's the bit of acting at the top. And it's good because my partner gets to be Lola and she gets to do quite a lot of the legwork, whereas I'm purely bringing, you know, the spectacle. On Halloween week, I turn around and I've got vampire fangs in, and it's like Tony's a vampire. I'm in quite a distressing place with Copacabana at the moment because. When we were going on holiday, I just went to a Spotify playlist of summer holiday songs.
Yeah.
Thought, here we go, this is going to be great. Holiday by Madonna.
Love
into
it.
Club Tropicana.
Beautiful.
Glory's having the time of her life. We get to number three, and it's the Spanish version of Copacabana. I think it's kind of... it sounds more Mexican-Spanish kind of thing, but Manolo's doing it.
There's a mariachi theme to it, yeah?
Well, no. It sounds like Copacabana, but he's just singing it Spanish.
Oh, okay.
And wow. And obviously it blows everyone's minds in the car, but my daughter cannot
obviously it does.
cannot get past it. And she's like, I want that one again. Oh. So our summer holiday was the drive from the holiday home to the beach was three Spanish versions of Copacabana long. So that's six times a day.
Does it act as a sort of Duolingo for you, though? Do you feel like you've picked up any of the...
I have. And then I launch into it and realise I haven't. And then it sounds quite insulting.
I mean, that's it as well. There are plenty of songs I absolutely love that I'm basically just singing phonetically what I think the words might be. I'm not always singing... you know, English words for English songs. So to think I might learn a language just from listening to one song.
I know one of them finishes with Disparo. Na la Disparo, hace copa, copa. I don't know what Disparo means, but that's
in despair.
There.
Isn't there a bit where
Tony Acosion Bar? I think, I mean, like, there's a lot of that going on, basically. You know the story, so you can kind of try and piece it together. But anyway... You know, you take Copacabana and you do it different ways every week. I think that's going to keep you in the competition. I think people are going to want to know. Once you get to the third week, people are like, they can't Copacabana again.
Surely
how do you jive the Copacabana? And it's like, here's how. And then people are like, oh my God, they've got the American Smooth next week. That's never been Copacabana'd. Here's how. And then I think that's going to get you to the final. I'm not sure it'll see you win, but I think it'll get you to Blackpool.
And do you think post that, you know, obviously you get to Blackpool, you get to go on the tour as well, you know.
Yeah, they'll want that on the tour.
yeah, you're doing that on the tour. Then, do you think you're touring yourself with a big band, and you're performing Copacabana 12 ways?
Well,
do you think people would want to see that show? Because I feel like they might. You've sort of Trojan horsed this idea into that people love different versions of Copacabana into the sort of British psyche. I think you could make a lot of money on that tour. Big venues, big band, and it's you performing. Obviously a bit of dancing, bit of singing.
What about Copacabana the musical? And it's the story of Copacabana, but every song in it is Copacabana.
Every song in it is just one line of Copacabana.
Oh my God. Like, am I the only person that's finding this completely nightmarish?
When like Tony dies, you go into a really sad, load of things, a sad version of Copacabana.
Tom, I'm sorry, I'm only halfway through the song. I hadn't spoiled, you've got to say spoilers, man. I've only listened to the first half. I'm so sorry. I've got bad listening habits at the moment because you know, kids take a long time to put down. So by the time you get downstairs and you've eaten your tub of ice cream, you only want to watch about half a song on Spotify.
Well, I hate to break to you, Crosby, but Tony, muy, muy morte.
Oh, muy, muy morte.
Oh,
no, Santa
He's
Maria.
Muy, muy morte. I don't know if morte is the right word. But anyway.
House meeting.
Can I have a lift? I live in the meeting.
House meeting.
So yeah, that's so this morning on the way to Baby Jim, we did it twice, two times round on Spanish Copacabana.
Are you getting to the stage now where you're feeling the, where you actually listen to it in your own time and you go, actually,
if you're slightly missing, on the...
yeah, if you're slightly missing glow, do you ever go, oh, I might just have a little listen to it?
I'm that way with Sarah and Duck.
Oh, Sarah and Duck is a hell of a show.
Sarah and Duck, I happily watch on my own. But the thing that my daughter did this morning was we'd listened to it twice. We got to gym, and as we got out of the car, she said, "Can you pass me my Copacabana, please?"
Oh my God!
And I was like, "Yes, fucking I love it. Please." You got Copacabana.
Does she want to join Pappy's? Could easily be a round on Flat Slam. That
Papa's got a brand new Copacabana.
Pappy's got a brand new Copacabana.
Really good stuff. But yeah, anyway, that's my tactic. And I think we should all have... It's good to have one. It's good to have what's going to take it. In the same way, you need to have your Taskmaster outfit, just in case you get the call. You need to have your Strictly tactic that's going to get you to Blackpool.
Strictly strategy, yeah.
If I get to the final, Manolo's going to sing it.
Oh, wowee, of course.
That's my, you know, that's like Robbie on X Factor moment. That's what you want. I bet Manolo buzzes off. You're certainly getting a good luck message off him.
Yeah, at the very least.
You're certainly getting a VT of Manolo. But, yeah, have you got a tactic? What's going to get you past Blackpool, basically?
I guess I'd just be like really amazing at dancing.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I could probably be the best dancer anyone's ever seen.
Are you, what's your style? You're into Lindy Hop. How does that manifest itself in Strictly? Is it jive? It's jiving, isn't it?
I suppose, quite close to.
So, but once you've got your jive out of the way, here's a question: Are you jiving early? Like, are you saying, give me my jive early, I'm going to bring it, and then you've got to, that buys you about 3 weeks to get a bit of personality across.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe week three, I'd lob it in there. I think the first couple of weeks would probably be okay. Right, guys?
I think you might need to jive early, dude.
Yeah.
We
in the opening video,
Crosby and I were talking about this earlier, and we were dreading you saying week three jive because we're going to push quite hard for you to.
We've talked about this a lot over the last few weeks. What with Clarkie's
and honestly,
and we thought you were going to rest on your laurels till week three, and I just don't think you can. You've got to come out the box.
I'll be honest with you, that's our worst nightmare. You say week three, we kind of, it's our worst case scenario. We need you to really come out driving.
When the second you said I'd probably wait till week three, I felt like someone was walking over my grave. It was honestly, it right. wasn't. It was like the worst kind of déjà vu. Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm so glad we've had this chat, because otherwise, you know, I'd be going in blind, wouldn't I? I'm going to get the call, I imagine, any second.
Just,
you know, this is truly what friends are for.
And Taskmaster outfit.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, yeah.
Yeah. We're dreading what you're going to say.
Yeah. Well, I picked something out of Vinted.
Yeah.
It used to belong to Tom.
It's two yellow t-shirts, yeah.
One for the top, one for the bottom.
For a pre-record Bath Ryan Crosby's and Blue Man Group It.
Do one of those entirely painted on outfits. I mean, it's essentially what Wang did, isn't it? Let's be honest.
It's body paint. You've gone for body paint, yeah.
But you body painted like a winter outfit, like a brown duffel, like a brown corduroy duffel coat.
A tuxedo.
You body painted oh my God, body paint tux on Taskmaster. I think that's get.
I just think in any situation, body paint tux is a good
name. Good name
move.
For the tour.
I think body paint tux on Strictly, because as you start to sweat, week on week as the dances get harder. Yeah,
well, the dances are the only more thing. I didn't know. Limbo was going to come into it. Crosby, would your tactic involve being a little dude who's hoofed it around? You know, like she does the lifts.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, like the first dance, perfect. You're in a piece, and she just solo dances. Yeah. She flash dances.
That in fact.
Time of my life.
Tom, this, by the way, me and a papoose is exactly what I had for week one, because what I am going to do is I'm going to do, over the 7 weeks, the seven ages of man.
It's unfortunate, because for the grand final,
how though?
You've got a Zimmer frame.
I know. Grand final, they wheel out a coffin.
Beautiful.
They
hold perfect.
Does like a juggling act.
Out of the, yeah. So the coffin gets wheeled on, little holes pop out the sides and out the bottom. My arms come out the sides, my legs come out the bottom. And I'm like that boiler, the combi boiler mascot. Right. I'm like that guy, but a coffin.
Superb.
And there I am, and I'm absolutely going for it. Catches spinning me around her head. She picks me up and spins me around her head just using the box.
Catching my name. Catching my nature.
Catching me if you can.
That's really strong, because it means for the first couple of weeks as well, yeah, like you're in a papoose and she's just doing a flash dance. You know, you're just getting to ride along. You know, week two, you're kind of being thrown around a lot.
It's also the first few weeks. It's a great way of disguising the fact that I wear adult diapers. So I can actually make the fact that I've been incontinent since the age of 37.
I can make
a feature of this now.
You've only got a few weeks to get through without pissing yourself, actually. Without it seeming like part of the show.
That's what they say. That's what they say when they sign you up to Strictly.
That's what they really mean by the Strictly curse, isn't it? Is incontinence. All those people, they're getting off with the dancers just to create a distraction from the time, the photos of them shitting themselves in the rehearsal room. It's like, look, we can publish that, but if you do just get off with her outside a pub, then we'll go with that instead. And you're like, go, fair enough. Give me two nights.
Give me two nights.
Because the real Strictly curse is like a pebble dashed rehearsal room mirror.
No more spinning, please.
In my case, I wouldn't say give me two nights, I'd say give me 5 weeks, because there's no way she's getting off with me when I'm dressed like a toddler. It just can't happen. When I've got the little hat with the propeller on the top and an oversized lollipop, I don't think in good conscience
at least
she's snogging me.
Let me wait till freshman week. when Yeah, good tactics. Good tactics. I feel like I think we're all getting to Blackpool.
I think we're going to get the call up. Yeah, cool. I think we are.
Well, amazing. body paint tux is a risky gambit.
body paint tux, especially if Clark is not bringing it to week three.
I think if the first week
is just him in a body paint tux, just kind of moving his arms a little bit, you know, giving the thumbs up to someone doing some amazing dancing.
I think what it'll actually be is, like Matthew's doing the seven stages of man, I'll be doing the seven stages of grief.
Right.
Be my angle for it.
Denial that you're in a body paint tux. Right the way through.
Acceptance.
The first week, I'm not wearing a body paint tux. By week seven, I am wearing a body paint tux.
Guys, I've got some news. You're not going to believe this.
And the audience going, no, actually, we're still on the regret phase. Would you mind letting us grieve at our own pace here? We don't think we're going to achieve acceptance until you've left the show.
And then, yeah, when we go on tour, I'll wipe myself down, I'll wipe my body paint off, and that'll be the touring shroud.
Wow. Merch. Merch. On sale in the foyer, the touring shroud.
It was quite a good show. You know, the dancers came out, they did a few dances, that was really, really good. And then at the end, the guy wearing the body paint tux just rubbed himself on a duvet cover for 15 minutes. Not exactly how I hoped the show would close, but, you know.
And 40 quid. 40 quid in the foyer.
I feel like we got our money's worth.
You do a similar thing when you're at your teenage stage, don't you, Matthew?
Not for 15 minutes. 15 seconds, more like.
The pissadoble.
House meeting.
What's the worst thing you've considered eating?
House meeting.
There you go.
Lovely episode, actually.
Enjoyed it. Enjoyed the hell out of it.
I forgot to say, talking about charity shops, I got a message from my friend who had just walked into a charity shop in North London, and staring down the barrel at her was a framed photo of us on sale for a fiver.
A fiver.
So I bought it.
An absolute snip.
Of
course, you've got to.
Double the price it was originally sold for.
It's a bit like they say, you know, if you see a bar that's got your name, you've always got to walk into it. If you see a framed photograph of yourself in a charity shop, you've got to buy it. For different reasons, to save your embarrassment that there's images of you in a charity shop.
It's also why I'm changing my name to Red Lion.
Oh, yes. I was going to say you put and as your middle name, but I don't know. Anyway, it's not as good. Right, anyway. So we've been recently charity shopped.
We've been charity shopped. It's amazing. It's amazing. If you see any, there's not a lot of merch out there, but if you see occasionally a Bad Alts crew member bag, where someone take a photograph of that and say, we saw this in a charity shop, and you totally understand that. Yeah.
I get it.
I'm surprised they've still held out, because I used my Bad Alts team member bag for ages, and it was like a sort of old school bag. It's like an old, it was like an old satchel.
You tried dying it, didn't you? Yeah.
I did die. I died of black, actually. Yeah, that was my
mistake. He killed it.
The way we treated that crew, it's a miracle they've held on to those bags.
Well, it was their only payment, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. We did say there's money inside the bag, and then we made a quick trip back down to London, never went back to Glasgow since. By the way, do you want to, very, very quickly, play a round of If This Is My Voice, What Happened?
Oh, yeah, I do, yeah. Oh, forgotten about that.
Okay, and now I'll tell you now that the person who sent this in has not given us the answer, so it's really I guess whichever one we could agree. I mean, I guess what once we do it, they can get back in touch and tell us if we were right or wrong, but you know, I'm happy to leave this on a cliffhanger. Here we go.
Dakota from Birmingham. What hat am I wearing?
Good God, man, watch where you're going.
Right, that was Dakota from Birmingham. What hat is Dakota from Birmingham wearing?
That's a bowler, isn't it?
I think it's either a bowler or a pith helmet.
Oh.
You know, it's got a real feel of hunting tigers out in India. You know that old song. It's got that kind of thing.
I didn't think it was enough for it. I think it's more on the steps in Mary Poppins. It's to the Banksy's children when he started to cut loose.
I didn't know Banksy had children.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know anything about him.
You don't know anything about me.
One more time. Let's hear it one more time.
Dakota from Birmingham. What hat am I wearing?
Good God, man. Watch where you're going.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it's Bowler. But
I think
a very strong outing.
So as always, leave us a message with your favourite stereophonic song, your favourite city in the UK, and then what hat are you wearing?
Dakota's done another one. Do you want to hear another one very quickly?
Yeah. Dakota's good at this.
Wow. Bollocks. Dakota from Birmingham. What hat am I wearing? Wow, I do declare I got the vapors.
Okay, so it's one of these kids that vapes.
Yeah, so what do you think? Well, actually, everyone's vaping these days. Not many people wear hats. So anything from the bucket hat to the beanie to the baseball cap.
Is it like a bonnet?
I'm thinking bonnet. But then actually, it's not so, like, it's more like Streetcar Named Desire, isn't it? It's got more of that kind of vibe.
Yeah, like what are the long kind of wicker ones that,
like a wicker trilby or something like that, a bit bigger than
a
trilby.
Not like a boater, but more like, you know, when it's like a long,
it's like a sun from the hot southern sun.
Gathered around, like a piece of cloth that they can gather under their chin.
A big bow under the chin and a big sort of like, almost like the Sydney Opera House shape.
Yeah, like a sun hat.
Like a wicker sun bonnet, yeah. Dakota, you've got to get back in touch and tell us if we're close. Last one from Dakota. I like the way as well in the last message, he messed up his own system that we hadn't asked him to do, but he went, oh, bollocks.
Bollocks.
Oh, I haven't done Dakota Birmingham. What hat am I wearing? Anyway, here we go.
Dakota Birmingham. What hat am I wearing? One false move and it all goes audibly wrong. So bad. Oh, I could do bad accents all day. Oh, God. One false move and it all goes audibly wrong. It's terrible, South African. It's just That's terrible. Bad. Like,
I'm glad he said it was South African.
What hat is the one false move and it all goes horribly wrong? One false move and it all goes horribly wrong.
Am I right? He's wearing like a fucking prawn.
I think he's twisted the format. I think he's bareheaded. I think he's hatless.
I think he's wearing a hat that grants him diplomatic immunity.
I think that's right, yeah.
So it's a diplomat's hat that says immunity on it.
We're saying boater, we're saying bonnet, we're saying diplomat's hat. Dakota, put us out of our misery and get back in touch, mate. We need to know.
And please state your name and what city you're in.
Yeah, if anyone else wants to, you can get in touch. Or if you'd like to send us a beef, because we need some more audio beefs. We love them. You can get in touch using this number.
0208123-3272. What's your beef? 0208123-3272. What's your beef?
Beautiful. Do get in touch. And we'll be back real soon. Today's episode was produced by Emma Caution.
Caution team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Bye.